This is Dave Gloetz of MrRadio.org. I'm speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. Ben's column on March 6th, 2008 is titled A New Twist on an Old Trick, and he's here with me today to tell the rest of the story. Well, the first part of your article talks about the latest proposal for what I guess you'd call a government handout to Wrigley Field. And you and I talked about this in January, where the Tribune's new owner, Sam Zell, wanted the state to take ownership of Wrigley Field. And your thinking was that this would make it easier for Zell to sell the Cubs because prospective owners wouldn't be saddled with the cost to rehab and expand Wrigley Field. Since then, it looked to me like the state takeover of Wrigley Field was dead. The press quoted potential buyers of the Cubs as not keen on the state takeover. And as you point out, the mayor finally decided he didn't like losing the property tax revenue that Wrigley pays. It seems the only person I've heard pushing state takeover of Wrigley Field is former Governor Jim Thompson, who is the board chair of the Illinois Sports Facility Authority, the state agency that would own Wrigley if the state took it over. Given Mayor Daley's opposition, why do you think Thompson keeps pushing state takeover of Wrigley?
I would think that what all of these politicians realize is that this is all part of a larger game of giving and taking. So Mayor Daley would get something from the state in exchange for allowing this deal to go through. This is classic political behavior. If he's going to allow them to do this, he wants something for it. What? I don't know. So Thompson is advancing this, and it's curious how he does it. He's sort of advancing it through the Sun-Times. He has these little comments to Fran Spielman of the Sun-Times, and she writes an article, and they serve as trial balloons. And then Daley responds to her articles. Sometimes he's favorable. One time he was favorable, so she wrote, Daley, he's favorable. Another time he's not favorable. So this is sort of this public negotiation that's going on using the Sun-Times. So really there's nothing on the table right now. Now, I've watched these things for a while to realize that there's probably private negotiations going on in which many of these ideas are being floated and talked about and how to arrange the exact financing, that kind of thing. So I take very serious this as a proposal. And I think what they're also trying to do is concoct some explanation or justification as to why this would be good for the public. And I'm waiting for that glorious day when they spin that one off. Because
there's an article there.
Yeah, there's an article. It'll be totally duplicitous, more deviousness from our public guardians.
In the second part of your article, in that part you describe Chicago Public Schools' strict enforcement of its teacher-to-student ratio rules, which caused it to juggle teachers at Julian High School over by 103rd Street. I could imagine someone reading something like that and just cringing at such bureaucracy-induced mismanagement and waste. But whom among our elected representatives should people complain? Not the school board. All seven members of the school board are elected by the mayor. So who?
The sad reality is that unless you're a parent of one of those students, it doesn't affect you, you don't care. If you are a parent, you raise bloody hell. You call your alderman, you call your state rep, you call everybody. Try to put public pressure on the Board of Education. And the Board of Ed is largely impervious to public pressure.
That was my first reaction when you said call everyone, you know, call your elected representatives. They're largely impervious, but they are less impervious to pressure from elected officials.
Yeah. If the big boss, Mayor Daley, who appoints them all and to whom they bow and scrape, if he were to tell them this is an outrage, it would not happen. But he's largely indifferent. He doesn't pay attention. He would be the one person who would get the board to immediately stop this stupidity, because that's what it is.
I imagine calling my alderman, how does that turn into pressure on the mayor to put pressure on the school board?
Because you got to get to the mayor. If an alderman says you're...
Then my constituency is outraged,
yeah,
mayor.
Yeah, things will happen. That's how Chicago works. The Board of Education is not responsive to the cries of anguish coming from its students or its teachers. In fact, they seem to take some kind of perverse pride in their indifference to it, as though because people are yelling at them, they must be doing something right because change is hard. That's sort of how they look at things. This is a common attitude, not just for this Board of Ed, but for previous Board of Eds, for all boards. If they're in a room full of angry people, they have this notion, well, we must be doing something right because we're making change. And change always gets people upset. Therefore, if people are mad, it's change and it's good. What a cockamamie way of looking at things. This is not good, okay? Now, I interviewed several board people for this particular story, and they were all embarrassed to a certain degree. You know, I say, why couldn't you wait until the summer to rectify this matter? In other words, what happens is schools allotted a certain number of teachers according to how many students enroll. Let's say it's 25 students per teacher, just to make it simple. If in October you do an official count, you find that you're 300 under projections, then you have to lose about 10 to 12 teachers. So I said, well, why don't you just wait until July? Why would you disrupt an entire school year? Just because your formula dictates it. You're putting your formula ahead of your students. And the response is, well, we can't afford it. I'm like, can't afford it? You got a $400 million reserve. And they say, well, that's for rainy days. I'm going, if this is not a rainy day, what is it? You're saying you would rather keep $400 million in reserve and by doing so disrupt the lives of dozens of students? You say your single greatest goal is to prevent kids from dropping out or encourage them to stay in school, and yet you would take action that would lead to more dropouts? What are you in business for? To maintain a healthy reserve, or are you in business to prevent dropouts?
So you talked to some of these folks whose responses were that their priority is their physical responsibility rather than the teaching responsibility. That's essentially the message you got.
That's essentially the message I got. The bureaucratic mind doesn't think about education. They have a rule and they're following the rule. You can't expect bureaucrats to make a change. You have to expect the people who control bureaucrats to tell them to make a change, and then they will act accordingly. One of the great delights I have in covering this stuff is when I meet somebody who tells me that government can't do X, Y, Z because the rules won't allow it. Well, the rules are just completely arbitrary. They're changed all the time. If the rule makes no sense, if the rule is undercutting the very purpose of what you're trying to do, change the rule. It's not like, oh, nope, can't do it because there's a rule. Well, they change rules all the time. Stupid rules.
Especially if you're in charge.
Yeah, you're the man. You can change the rule. And they go, well, the lawyers won't let us. Well, you hire the lawyers. The lawyers do what you tell them. The real problem is nobody cares about the kids at Julian. Nobody. It's not their kids. If they cared about them, they wouldn't allow this to happen. They'd say, no, wait till the summer. If you're going to have to cut the teachers in the summer so it doesn't disrupt another school year.
So you talked to someone in the Chicago Public Schools administration, not somebody at the Board of Education.
The people I talk to are the employees who work for the board. If you asked a person at the board about this, they would probably tell you, oh, gosh, I don't know. It's an enormous operation. Talk to Joe in financing. He'll tell you.
Right. So not the seven board members themselves.
Yeah. Now, the seven board members, as I've said, I've sat through many board meetings. They rarely say anything. You know, they act as though if somebody's howling, it's a good sign because change is always hard.
All right. Well, thanks for talking with me about schools and the Cubs, even though I'm a Sox fan. Are you a Sox fan?
I like the Sox and the Cubs because I'm not from Chicago.
You speak both languages, North Side and South Side.
Right.
All right. We'll leave it there. This is Dave Gloetz. I've been speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.